Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to start your weekend by rolling out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, you know what happens on Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Yes, that means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
Okay, well, all the listeners should be happy because when they hear Frank, they know it's weekend time.
Yeah, there you go. That's the other key. They know that it's time for the weekend. And, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, sadly we can't talk to Frank. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that, though. If not, feel free to reach out to us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And, yes, we do still have a Hotmail address. Oh, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime, hopefully tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and, you know, you went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and give that a like, but don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Oh, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass any messages you have along to Stu. I would gladly do that for you. Not at all. But, Stu, I know you were greatly concerned, and I saw today that Matt Nagy got a job. He is back as the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback coach. So I believe that's where the Bears hired him from. Are you happy for Mr. Nagy that he ended up with a job after all that Bear money he cashed?
Yeah. He seems like a good guy. I guess he doesn't quite have the talent to be a head coach, at least in the Bears organization. But who does have the talent to be a good head coach in the Bears organization is a question I put to you. I don't know. But I did see that just recently that he got that job. I think it was an assistant quarterback coach, right?
Yeah, well, the story I said quarterback coach, maybe it's the assistant position, because I thought they had hired Mike Kafka, the former Northwestern quarterback, or maybe he left to take another job. I don't know. I'll have to check that out and see. But, you know, either way, Nagy's going to be back on that staff where, you know, he got his start from, so... Yeah, he caught the tag. Here you go. Here's his official title, Stu. Quarterbacks coach and senior assistant.
Oh, and senior assistant.
Yes. So that's his job title there. So
you think he's taking a pay cut?
Oh yeah, definitely. So No doubt about that.
But I'm sure that he's financially set, and the Bears have to still pay him for, until his contract expires?
Yeah, whatever he had left on his contract. I don't believe the NFL has the prorated pay like baseball does, where if you sign a guy who's been cut, his team only has to make up the difference. I believe the Bears will have to pay him his full salary. And, you know, that's why a lot of guys, you know, sit out or stay away after they've been fired, because they want to collect those salaries depending on the wording of their contracts. So
are you saying that it's possible that since he accepted a new job, the Bears won't have to pay him the full amount of his remaining contract?
I don't think it works like that in the NFL. That's how it works in Major League Baseball. Like, if you sign a player who's been released, you know, and just to simplify it, say he had $1 million left on his contract and you sign him for $500,000, the team that released him has to make up that other $500,000.
Yeah, so that's not going to apply in this situation. Then he's going to get the full amount remaining from the Bears on his contract.
Yeah, on top of what he'll make from the Chiefs.
Well, I'm sure he's happy to be reunited with Mahomes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it definitely will make his life much easier than having to work with, you know, a Mitchell Trubisky or, you know, a rookie like Justin Fields.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
it's good to see that he looked down rather quickly after being fired by the Bears.
Yeah, you know, I can't say I'm super surprised by that one. I, you know, you kind of figured he would, you know, he would get a job somewhere. Like, I still don't believe he'll ever be an NFL head coach again, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a very long career as an assistant, you know, be it Kansas City or other places.
Yeah, he made it okay with his deal with the Bears, for sure.
So, yeah, we'll have, you know, again, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see what, you know, what happens and all those other fun things. But, yeah, it's, you know, just, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things that happen in the NFL. You know, the Chiefs made some, you know, some news yesterday, too, when they were able to bring back Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator. So they are, you know, they're rounding out their staff nicely.
Well, I'm sure they'll be one of the favorites to win next season in the AFC at least.
Yeah, you know, they'll be right there. I think I saw the early predictions had Kansas City and Buffalo as the favorites to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl next year. So,
well, that's no surprise. And I guess Cincinnati didn't get a mention, huh? Cincinnati wasn't in the mix.
No, not even close. So, you know, just kind of, you know, how it goes. But, you know, again, it was one, you know, you kind of expected that. So,
yeah, just think, if it wasn't for a couple of questionable calls by the referees towards the end of the game in the Super Bowl, Cincinnati might have won it, might have won it all.
Yeah, you know they were right there, and you know they looked like a team who, you know, will have the opportunity to compete with the Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes in the near future. You know, it shouldn't be an issue for them to, you know, kind of hang around. Like, I would be a little bit surprised if they ended up in the Super Bowl again next year. But I, you know, like, I fully kind of expect them to win the AFC North and, you know, get into the playoffs again.
Without any question. And what about New England? Are they on their way down, you think? Or will they be a factor next season? That'll be interesting.
Well, you got to remember, 2 years ago, New England, they were ready to bury Bill Belichick and send him off into retirement. And they made the playoffs last year. So, you know, they had no issue getting back into the playoffs. And it looks like, at least as of last year, they ended up getting the best quarterback in the draft. So
yeah, they probably will get back into the playoffs again, but I don't think that they're going to go as far as, say, Kansas City or Buffalo or Cincinnati.
No, you know, and I mean, obviously with a young quarterback, it'll take a little time for him to develop, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were a surprise playoff team like Cincinnati was this year. Not saying they'd make the Super Bowl, but, you know, I could see them possibly getting to a conference final kind of as a surprise, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting to start already speculating about football, considering that baseball is a non-issue at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how it goes. So, you know, again, I didn't see any news and, you know, any of that stuff. So I don't know how the talks went today. But
I think
I'm
guessing they went about just the same as they've been going for the entire week, which is not very, very little in the way of movement. So I'm looking for a delay now in the season. And maybe at best we can expect, and this is even the most optimistic of scenarios, we can expect a 144-game season.
Yeah, if that, you know, I mean, it could be even less.
Yeah. You would think at this stage that there would be some given by the Players Association, the union, but not again today. Nothing much seemed to happen.
No, you know, you know, it's just that's what we're stuck with. So.
Well, you know who this is going to help out, of course. The NBA, NHL, and the USFL.
Yeah, you know, it should. So. You know, we'll just have to wait and, you know, have to wait and see how it plays out. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's ridiculous. And I saw somebody on Twitter, again, complaining about the owners because they're billionaires. It's not their fault they made money.
No. In fact, there was a disclosure today, by the way, and very few teams disclose the bottom line, but Atlanta did, and they did very well for themselves in 2021, let's put it that way.
So, yeah, you know, it definitely, you know, I mean, obviously winning you would think winning teams would do better than losing teams, you know, just not when it comes to Tampa Bay. So.
Right. Yeah, I think someone mentioned that they wound up winding up in the black by about $100 million, the Atlanta Braves. So I guess the players can't, or the owners can't complain about Major League Baseball owners being a losing proposition for them investment-wise anymore.
So, yeah, I just want the, you know, I want it done and over with, but it's looking more and more like I won't be watching baseball this season. So,
do you think that the average baseball player knows how disgruntled the fans are about this situation, or don't they just care?
You know, Dan and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday, and, you know, I really think it's just your, you know, your level of baseball, let's say acumen, you know, like I don't think the common fan is going to care until they have to buy a ticket. So, you know, because then they're going to look at it and be like, oh my God, look at the ticket prices. So.
Yeah, go back 10, 20, 30 years ago, and as the late Babe Ruth once said, there's only one game, national pastime, it's baseball. But that doesn't hold anymore. That's just not true.
So, yeah, I, you know, just kind of, you know, just kind of one of those odd situations when, you know, you get into these, you know, these things. It's like, okay, great, you know, where are we, what are we doing? So
yeah, as a kid, but yeah, I may have mentioned this to you before, excuse me for interrupting, but as a kid, I always used to look forward to spring training. It's the winter is slowly receding. It's like being reborn again. It's baseball time again. The summer is coming. And I guess I don't feel that much that way anymore, but I, to some extent I do. If there were actual spring training going on now, I would feel a little bit better, optimistic about the future. Hey, it's warm weather time coming. We have something to look forward to, and it's kind of a jolting situation. It doesn't sit right with me at all. It doesn't really bother me.
It's difficult, you know, and again, you know, the big thing is, you know, in general, like you mentioned, you know, here, especially where we live, spring training kind of signals the end of winter.
Exactly right.
So, you know, it's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, winter is going to be over soon, and we won't have to, you know, won't have to worry about it. But yeah, it's like, okay, great. You know, why did this, you know, why did this happen? And
yeah,
now it doesn't seem like winter's never going to
happen. And the plus side, it looks like these things only happen every 28 years, right? The last time there was a full-fledged strike was 1994. So if...
Yeah,
if
well, remember, technically it's not a strike, it's a lockout. And I actually heard some idiot say today that the only reason we don't have baseball is because the owners locked them out. So.
Yeah, the only plus thing I can look at when this happens, if it happens every 28 years, I'll be 112 when it happens again. So
there
I have a long time to wait until it happens again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, we'll have to see how this kind of works, but yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence in this being solved anytime soon, and we'll have to see just how long it goes. You know, I mean, at this point, are we looking at something that's possibly going to stretch into March? You know, and I know part of the player's strategy, you know, the player's union strategy is to drag this out as long as possible because they don't believe the owners want to lose money like they did 2 years ago with the COVID outbreak.
Well, I don't know if that's a good decision on the baseball player's part because right now it does certainly looks like the owners are taking a hardline stance this time.
Yeah, well, they did. I just overheard it. I have the television on in the other room because, God forbid, I turn anything off when I leave a room. And I heard the reporter just mention that the two sides have been meeting for 5 hours today. So hopefully that means they're moving along. This is the longest meeting they've had since all this garbage started. You know, we had a couple meetings where the players literally walked out after 10 or 15 minutes. So I'm kind of hoping this is a good sign that we're getting something going or at least moving in the right direction. You know, the owners have a deadline of Monday to have this solved before they have to, and it's cancel games. They're not going to reschedule games. They are going to cancel games. And you do wonder if that's another negotiating ploy by the players because they've wanted a shorter season.
Well, they also suggested that if they could still play a full season by scheduling some doubleheaders, which the owners said would not happen.
Yeah, and remember, the players don't like that either. You know, you have to play the split doubleheaders or else the players cry about having to play the old-style back-to-back doubleheaders like they used to. Well, I shouldn't say the players, but their union. I'm sure some of the players cry, but I don't know, you know, which specific ones that actually do complain about it, but they do have a lot of lot of complaining goes on with these big shot, I make so much money, people. So.
Well, since that there's been some kind of movement, obviously, since they've gone 5 hours today, are they willing to work over the weekend to see if any more progress will be made, or is that it? Will they wrap it up today and resume on Monday?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard what they would actually want to do. So we'll have to see. You know, I don't know, you know, how that'll work out.
Yeah, and they don't want to alienate the fan base.
Well, you would think, but again, we have to wonder about that, don't we? It seems like they do a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, they have been so far.
So, you know, or, I mean, at least they've alienated, you know, old people like you and I. I don't know if the younger people actually care that much, do they?
Yeah, at one time, as we mentioned earlier, at one time it was definitely the national pastime, but I think certainly the NFL has superseded them in terms of popularity among the general public.
Oh, yeah, easily. So no doubt about that at all. The NFL is, you know, they outdo everybody when it comes to this.
Now, would you say baseball is, as we say, as we speculate, and we're pretty sure about, the NFL is now number one. Is MLB number two now? I guess they'd have to be because you have to think they'd be way ahead of the NBA or the NHL.
Yeah, well, I actually heard a report that had the NBA is number two.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah. You know, but again, you never know. I mean, obviously, depending on who's doing the reporting would be, you know, who, you know, what they kind of lean towards or move towards and all that fun stuff.
Right,
so.
Exactly. And I must segue and ask you one other thing. I have to agree with you about something you've mentioned several times. I attempted to watch the opening half of the NBA Bulls game last night, and boy, I have to agree with you. It's almost impossible to watch a half of the NBA game. I mean, I have to turn it off after a few minutes. I just can't watch it. Something is wrong with that sport.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, for me, it's just kind of the lack of defense and the fact that, you know, they just kind of allow guys to stand around at the three-point line and shoot.
Yeah, a lot of, not only that, but it seems that an awful lot of players get open for easy layups. What happened to the defense?
That's because, you know, everybody wants to guard the 3-point line now, and they don't, you know, they don't pay attention to those guys who are standing in the paint because, you know, they're willing to trade 2 points to go down and shoot a three the next time down on offense.
Yeah. Hey, I do have to say, though, that the last, when I finally resumed the game with about a minute or less to go, it was awfully exciting at the end. And the Bulls were down by three with not much time remaining and came back to win.
Yeah, well, you know, they did have a nice comeback win. But you know, since you brought it up, and oddly, I finally heard some of this today, but it took a little while to get going. Can you figure something out as to why DeMar DeRozan isn't in the MVP conversation?
Are you saying he's not? I mean, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that he would be.
You would think, right? But with the exception of today, I hadn't heard his name come up.
I think that's going to change. Don't you think that's going to change by the end of the season? His name is going to be, has to be mentioned by then.
Well, you would think, wouldn't you? I mean, it sure seems like he deserves to be in this conversation.
I mean, he's established a record that took 60 years to break. Think about
it.
60 years. Mm-hmm. 60 years. No one broke that record until he did. He's got to be considered a strong contender.
So, yeah, you definitely think he would be. So, but, yeah, you know, today was the first day I finally saw them, you know, start to mention his name.
Who are the other names mentioned so far besides him? The usual suspects?
Joel Embiid, of course. You know, Chris Paul had been in there, but now that he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, his name will, you know, fall off.
Right.
I'm trying to think who else I heard that came up. You know, but yeah, there haven't been too many other names mentioned. So, you know, we'll see if and how, you know, DeRozan, you know, especially if the Bulls get the number one seed, you know, in the East, you've got to think finishing ahead of Embiid would, you know, in the standings would give him a leg up.
I think if that occurs and he continues to play at this level, I think he's going to wind up winning it. And you heard it here first.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he does. You know, it would be great to see him, you know, pick up that award. And I love the fact that it would, you know, make it even funnier out of all those people who said this was a terrible signing by the Bulls.
Yeah, I wonder what those those observers are saying now.
They don't admit to ever saying that. You know how these guys get. You know, what are you talking about? We never said that. Oh, I would have never said that. This was a great signing. So, you know.
I was impressed, by the way, in the game last night for his limited amount of time in the first game with the Bulls that Thompson looked like a nice backup presence to have for them, a big man and a solid player, and he knows what he's doing. And I read that he was able to, on the bench, kind of talk to the younger players and tell them how to set up certain defenses, and he's going to be a very, very strong addition that you may not hear about in terms of scoring,
know,
but he's really going to help the Bulls down the stretch.
We are talking about a guy who, you know, has won NBA titles.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he has that experience, and, you know, he's not a great scorer. I mean, you know, if they can get, you know, 10 and 10 out of him, you know, that would be great. I mean, hopefully, you know, he can provide what they need, which is rebounding. So we'll have to see how it goes.
That's been one of my criticisms of the team for the entire season is that they absolutely seem to get destroyed on the boards game after game after game, and that's not going to work out too well in the playoffs.
No, you know, that's always a, you know, can be a bit of an issue there. You know, that's where, you know, the playoffs is where defense and rebounding kind of shows up. The regular season, everybody's like, oh, yeah, whatever, we don't have to play it, don't worry about it. And, you know, yeah, but, you know, when it's the playoff time, all of a sudden everything kind of pops out, and you're like, oh, wait, we're going to do this now?
Yeah, and they're on a six-game winning streak now, but I have not been all that impressed because they've been beating teams that are, well, their records are far from pristine. For example, Atlanta, not a bad ball club, but how many games below 500 are they? And they almost
they
wound up winning
three
the game. Yeah, they almost beat the Bulls last night. So, and the Bulls seem to have a tough time. They seem to have a very difficult time beating contending teams.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it, you know, while Atlanta does have kind of a poor record, you know, they're still, you know, they were a playoff team last year, and they're I think they're technically they have that last play-in spot. So
at the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one game,
you know,
to me is going to be very important for the Bulls to win is when they have their rematch against Milwaukee at the UC coming up.
Yeah, that will definitely be a You know, and I mean, they're going to have to prove they can beat these kind of teams.
Exactly.
You know, if they're going to be a serious contender, and you know, I mean, in all honesty, I don't think they will be. You know, they should win a playoff series. I would expect that, but I don't think they're going to the NBA Finals. But here, I did find this for you. Here are the top five MVP contenders in the NBA. They have Nikola Jokic ranked as number one. Now, remember, he won it last year. Joel Embiid, who is my pick right now, is number two. Giannis Antetokounmpo is three. They do have DeRozan on the list at four, and then Steph Curry at five.
Well, those are some strong candidates, but I think when it's all said and done, if he continues at this high level, he's going to surprise people and sneak in there and win it.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other guy I'm always kind of baffled by doesn't get enough mention is, you know, Devin Booker is, even with Chris Paul, is the best player on the Phoenix Suns, and they have the best record in the league. And yet, for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to get a ton of attention.
That does seem to happen with some players. No matter how solid they are, they just don't seem to get the recognition that you think they actually deserve. And I can't put my finger on why. Not flashy
well,
enough?
Well, you know, you think with a guy like that, that it has to do with the fact that he plays in Phoenix and his games just aren't on national television?
That can always be a factor, but think about Curry, for example, playing on the West Coast, San Francisco. How many of his games are on?
Yeah, but they've won titles, you know, and his games are on actually quite a bit. You know, both the networks want to show Warrior games, you know, and because when you think about it, when they talk about West Coast teams, who are the first two teams they talk about? The Warriors, who are good, and the Lakers, who stink.
Yeah, that always gives me a chuckle when they mention the Lakers. Who are, how many games below 500 are there right now?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know. If my internet will cooperate, I can tell you. I think it's just a couple. It's two or three.
Yeah. But they're still below.
So I will,
they're still below 500.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're barely kind of hanging on to a play-in spot. I think they're ninth. You know, but, like, they're playing tonight, and they're a marquee game on ESPN.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. And you know how unhappy the networks would be if they didn't make it at least as a play-in team?
Yeah, here. Yeah, they are four games under right now in ninth place. They're 21.5 games behind the Suns, but yet you hear more talk about LeBron James than you do Devin Booker.
Name recognition is important in the NBA.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, oh, okay, great. But, yeah,
you really
I'm guessing,
I mean,
you know.
You have to say you can't take anything away from LeBron, though. I mean, he is
Paul?
One of the great players in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have had him second on that list behind only Michael Jordan, because I think there are some guys, if you go back in history, would have been better than him in this type of setting. But he's definitely, you know, having him on the list, he's definitely top five.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be top number two in my opinion, but I would say maybe the top five, top eight. But there's a lot of talented players in the league besides, I would agree, of course, and being an MJ fan, I would have to say he is the greatest NBA player in history, in my opinion at least.
Yeah. You know, and I do wonder how some of the guys who were considered more athletic back in the day, like, what would Elgin Baylor do in a league like this? Or what would a guy like Pete Maravich, who scored 30-plus points back before we had the three-point line, what would Maravich average in this league where nobody's going to guard him?
Yeah, you think he'd be a 40-point-a-game man, maybe?
I guess
rules?
On you know, but, I mean, you could just see Maravich standing out there shooting constantly. So, you know, and obviously the guys that would hurt, you know, Wilt's numbers would be down in this league, and so would Kareem's, because you don't really factor in the bigger guys. But, you would still think guys with that kind of talent are going to get their points somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you do wonder if today's player would be smart enough to feed a guy like Chamberlain or Jabbar with the talent they have, or stand out there and shoot, just keep shooting the three. I definitely would question.
Shooting the threes.
You know, even though you got
probably,
the guy who could.
I think they would probably do a little bit with Will, too, or Kareem, take advantage of that situation.
Yeah, you'd like to think so, but I do often wonder that at times if, you know, they would be smart enough to do that. So, but, yeah, our two games on ESPN tonight, you got the Miami Heat at the New York Knicks. That's the first game, so Miami has a chance to take that number one seed back in the Eastern Conference from the Bulls. And then we got the Clippers at the Lakers is the night game. So we get two under 500 teams for the marquee matchup. Of course, when this was picked, ESPN expected this to be a battle of two of the top teams. But now it's the, I think it's the eighth seed against the ninth seed currently.
Yeah, regarding the first game, I just don't see New York pulling the upset against Miami tonight, despite the fact that it's a home game for them.
Yeah, not with the way they've been struggling. Of course, being that it's the NBA, you know, you just never know with these games. You would like to think that Miami is going to get the win here, and I'm going to double check, but I'm willing to bet they're the favorite. Yeah, they're actually a 5.5-point favorite on the road.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, if you were a betting man, would you be inclined to give a shot towards the Knicks tonight and take the 5.5 points?
Yeah, I think I would probably lean that way with them at home and take the 5.5, which means if you are a betting person and you're listening, you're going to want to go with Miami because I am terrible at this. But, yeah, I think, you know, if I was putting money down on it, I would want those points. And just kind of see how it shakes out.
Yeah, it should be interesting. There's something I've been meaning to ask you about the NBA, and I don't know if it's just the last couple of years or it's been done a long time, but it seems to be more prevalent now than ever. Have you noticed that during timeouts, the players seem to have a respectful conversation with the referees now, talking about maybe foul calls or different things? And a polite conversation, nothing there was warrant technicals, but the player and the referees talk to them and answer them, and it seems to be quite pleasant, the conversation. I don't remember this as much in years past. Do you?
Yeah, well, you know, this is our new friendly NBA, you know, where everybody's buddies and we all get along and, you know, there's no real... You know, I don't so much want to say hatred, but there's no real rivalries. You know, while they try to build them up and make you believe that, you know, this or that, it's, you know, I think the only people who ever have adversarial relationships with the refs now are the coaches.
Yeah, exactly. And I also noticed that sometimes during a timeout, there'll be pleasant conversations between two opponents.
Yeah.
Chatting.
Well, you know, they're all buddies now. You know, in the off season, they go on vacations together, and you know, they have the same agents, so they all hang out together. They're all friends. It's not like before where, you know, guys had legitimate heat with other guys and didn't want to talk to them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of heat over the past years between certain teams, certain players. You don't see as much of that anymore.
Yeah, no, they're all buddies. Everybody's everybody's friend. So
there's probably a few exceptions. There's a few hatchet men still left in the league, and I'm sure that there is still maybe some animosity there, but not nearly as much as there used to be.
No. Oh God, no. Yeah, nobody. You know, I mean, because, you know, you're always going to get people who don't get along. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of life is you're going to get that. But, yeah, it's just nowhere near what it used to be.
Notice that during the regular NBA game, after the end of the game, the players shake hands, seem to be very friendly and congratulating one another, the game's over with. They don't do that during the playoffs, though, do they? After each playoff game, there isn't any handshake type thing,
yeah,
I don't think.
Not after each game. I believe after the series is over, they do that.
After the series
not
is
so
over.
Not so much along the lines of the NHL where they actually line up and do it. But they do, you know, when the series is over. You know, occasionally you'll see those guys who, again, share the same agent and are buddies and are vacationing together. You know, they'll talk to each other after a game. But, yeah, if you're, you know, if you're in game one and you get blown out, you know, some guys are upset and they want to go back to the locker room and just start thinking about game two.
Yeah, try to regroup.
Yeah.
Well, that's just human nature.
So,
it's the playoffs now. I mean, every game is important, and you got certain other things on your mind besides being a
camera. That's how a lot of these guys take it. They don't care about the regular season at all. All they care about is the playoffs.
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite as much as in years past, but I remember when I watched playoff games years ago, the scores of the game were much lower than they were during the regular season. But I'm not quite sure that's the same anymore now.
No, well, while the scores are a little lower, it's not like it was back then. That's when they used to play lockdown defense, and, you know, the refs gave them a lot of leniency. You know, now, you know, if you're a star player and a guy looks at you the wrong way, they blow the whistle, even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
And you hate to see games decided by a bad call by the referee, especially a playoff game. But we've seen a share of those over the years, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, we have one of the more famous ones here with Hugh Hollins and Scottie Pippen.
I was just thinking the same thing. And that was what we always seem to call that the phantom foul because Pippen never touched the player. I watched the replay several times. He never touched him. But for some reason, Hollins had a vendetta against the Bulls. He didn't like the Bulls.
Yeah, and especially Scotty, for whatever reason.
And I'm wondering if he ever took any heat from the league because of that call. And not that call that it caused the Bulls a playoff series.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I don't remember anything ever being done to him, no matter how much anybody complained. So.
Yeah, and one of the most egregious calls in the history of the game. I mean, really, when a foul is called on a player who doesn't even touch his opponent, and it cost the team not only the game but the playoff series, that something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and sadly, you know, being that he's a referee, you wonder, did he have money on the game, like that one ref?
Yeah, you often wonder. But he did have, like you pointed out, he did for some reason have a vendetta against not only the Bulls, but especially against Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. So, you know, just, yeah, one of those... You know, one of those poor situations where, you know, the ref got to decide the game. And, you know, you hate to see it.
Yeah, as we pointed out, switching back to football, that's why I hated those calls in the last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl.
So, yeah, it definitely, it's definitely always bad when you see the refs have, no matter what sport it is, be it a ref or an umpire, have a little too much influence on what's going on.
I'm beginning to think, and I thought about this a long time now, I think out of all the sports, I think the best referees may be in hockey.
Yeah, Yeah, I think so. They seem to do a really nice job, and you rarely hear, you know, too many complaints.
Very seldom do you see a player complain on a call, a hooking call or a tripping call, and but almost never happens. Yeah, they seem to do a very good job of keeping the action going and calling a fair game. And you don't see anything in the way of speculation about a poor call costing a team a game in hockey as you do sometimes in basketball, certainly, or football.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, there's always a little, you know, hubbub from a guy when he gets called from a penalty, but that's expected. So.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with the hockey referees.
So yeah, that's gonna happen anywhere you have, you know, anytime you're called for something. I don't think anybody believes they ever did it though, did they?
No.
So you know, that's just kind of the nature of sports. But you know, you did mention hockey. Are you ready for the Blackhawks returning to the ice tonight against the New Jersey Devils? It's actually a team that they have more points than during the season, so maybe they'll get a win.
They are a strange team this year, though. They have been very disappointing from the get-go.
Yeah.
And
definitely didn't go how people expected. And you do wonder if all the outside stuff had an effect on this team.
Oh, you're talking about the controversy with that one player, yeah.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, the Kyle Beach stuff, and, you know.
You'd like to think by this time they put it behind them, but they certainly don't look like a team that's going to make the playoffs this year.
No, and you know they were a trendy pick, but they are a slight favorite tonight. The line is the Blackhawks with -115. The goal total's quite high though, over under 6. I wouldn't expect these two teams to be able to do that unless there's some really bad goaltending, which I guess is always possible.
Yeah, I think that's an awfully high number for those two teams. I would bet under myself if I had opportunity. If I were betting, it would not be over 6.
Yeah, I mean, the Blackhawks have scored 6 goals in their last 3 games combined, all losses. And interestingly enough, the Devils have scored 6 goals in their last 3 games combined. Or no, they had 6 goals in their last game against Pittsburgh. So, who knows?
But that's been a long layoff for the Blackhawks. I mean, they haven't played in four or five days.
Yeah. Surprisingly, it was quite a big break there. So, but I know sometimes that happens with the NHL schedule.
I was going to say they'll be rusty tonight, but I don't think it makes any difference the way they play anyway.
Well, you know, I know you're holding out hope. They are only 15 points out of a wild card spot. So, you know, all they got to do is get on a hot streak and start putting some wins together, and they'll be right there.
Yeah.
Fifteen points is
pretty huge, don't you think?
Well, they got 30 games to do it in, so. You know, if they could go on about a 15-game winning streak, they might be able to get there.
Yeah, well, I'll go on record now and say the Blackhawks will not make the playoffs this season. But that's a pretty
The sad part is in their conference. Yeah, the Western Conference, they're only ahead of the Kraken and the Coyotes when it comes to points. So.
Well, they need to win tonight. They're not playing a real strong team, so maybe they'll win one.
Yeah, it would be nice to see them pick up a win. It's just one of those things. Well, it's been a down year, and you know you look at the team and you keep thinking, hey, you know they've got some talent, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't came together. I will be interested to see who ends up coaching this team next year.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Also, they'll have to get a new coach. But I noticed during a shootout game they had the other day that Taze did not shoot, was not one of the shooters, and I was surprised about that. Is he hurt, or have they benched him from the shooter? It's very unusual when he doesn't shoot the puck in a shootout situation.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at him now, is he really one of their top three scorers? You know, is he a guy there? I mean, you got Kane DeBrincat and what, maybe, I don't know if you go with Kirby Doc. You know, I mean, I know he's supposed to score, but he really hasn't. But maybe Hagel, who I know has put some pucks in the net this year.
Yeah.
So.
That was a shocking departure from tradition when he doesn't shoot. But in a shootout, anything can happen, of course, and you would think that with all his experience, they would at least give him a chance.
Yeah, you know, but when you look at it, I mean, he's got 4 goals this season in 43 games. So, you know, you wonder... You know, and he's really not a one-on-one type of player, so shootouts don't really bode to his game.
And truth be told, this has not been one of Kane's strongest offensive season either.
No, especially not goal scoring. You know, he's still dishing out the assists, but yeah, he's only got 13 goals. It's DeBrincat's been the guy who's been scoring all the goals, but he gets a lot of that from Kane.
There has been speculation that a lot of teams are interested in acquiring Hagen from the Blackhawks.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. He's put together a really nice year. You know, 14 goals, 13 assists. You know, I'm sure Marc-Andre Fleury is pretty popular too among trade talk. You just wonder if they'll make the move, or you know, if there's still time for them to get quality back for these guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. What would they get in return?
You know, especially Fleury, who's on the last year of his deal and wasn't sure if he even wanted to play for the Hawks. You know, depending on where he would go, if they're not a serious Stanley Cup contender, he could just walk away.
Yeah. But he might think twice if a team in contention wanted to acquire him.
Yeah, and well, you know, and you do wonder, not that we talk obviously world politics, but you know, there are quite a few players in the NHL that are from, you know, Russia or Ukraine or the area over there. You wonder how much I don't know if they're calling it a war or an incident or whatever they're describing it as. You wonder how much effect this will have on some of those guys, because it's got to be a distraction with their family still there.
It has to be a tremendous distraction. And the last I heard, there was actually going to be some negotiations, diplomatic negotiations between Russia and Ukraine. So maybe the situation can be resolved.
Yeah, you know, you hope they can work that out. I don't really know what their issues were. You know, the only thing I heard is Putin wanted to put the Soviet Union back together, but all the players have been speaking out against him. I think Alex Ovechkin even came out against him today. And obviously, you know, he's the biggest name in the NHL. I mean, he's still probably the best player even at his age.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, just,
no,
yeah,
you have to wonder why, what his mindset is to do something like this, and the ramifications can be really bad, and we just hope that it doesn't spiral into a situation which will astronomically raise, for example, our oil and gas prices because of this escalation there.
We heard the reports that we're going to pay $7 for gas this summer anyway, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I know it's gone up quite a bit already in the Southern California area, but not as bad here just yet.
So, yeah, you know, and hopefully they'll work it out before we start, before we start having to pay those ridiculous things. But sadly, you know, it always seems to happen. I do find it interesting that somehow they blame Donald Trump for this. I wasn't quite sure how he had an effect on it. So.
Yeah, well, Trump has made some rather strange statements over the last couple of days about congratulating Putin for securing his border, and I find that kind of in questionable taste myself when he said that.
Asinine, you know, when he makes those kind of statements. But, you know, he obviously didn't start the war. He doesn't have anything to do with it.
No.
You know, he didn't tell Putin or stuff like that. But, you know, I digress. I don't want us to get, you know, too off track or off sports. I just want to know, have you checked out your previews for Rampage and SmackDown? You're all ready for your night of wrestling as we get close to the end here?
Well, you know, I always forget about Rampage and I know, you know, are those, is that a live show tonight or taped again?
You know, I honestly don't know. I didn't look. Generally, it's taped just to, you know, save them the money, but I would guess it's a taped one. So.
What's more interesting, by the way, is the rumor coming out that there'll be another major, major announcement next Wednesday on AEW. By Khan. Saw? Now, what do you think? Is it going to be something like, he's acquired Ring of Honor. He bought Ring of Honor. Is it going to be something like that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a signing. I've actually read that it's possibly a deal he's made with a sponsor, a big, like, sponsorship deal. So... I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know if it's just going to be the announcement of the official signing of Jeff Hardy, you know, if it's going to end up being that or what, you know, what it's going to be. But there's been a lot of rumors it's some kind of money deal to inject some more money, you know, money into the company instead of just his and his father's. Not that it's a big deal for them with the money they have, but
yeah,
it is
his
business.
His father's a billionaire, so I don't think funding the AEW promotion is going to have any kind of impact on him financially.
You know, and I know the other rumors will start to come out. They'll say, well, you know, Shane McMahon's going to show up. You know, stuff like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that was a rumor
going around
a few weeks ago, but that never happened.
Yeah. You know, and you do wonder now, you know, possibly we'll see Cesaro pop up because he's left WWE.
Will he revert back to his old name then, I would imagine?
Yeah, I'm assuming, you know, because I'm sure WWE owns that name, so he would have to go back. He was Claudio Castaneves or something like that, or Castanola. I'm not sure.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess they were negotiating to retain his services in the WWE, but couldn't come to terms. Maybe they made an offer which he considered a lowball. I don't know.
He was very popular in the locker room with the other wrestlers, so that's a big loss for them. But, hey, guess what? It's time to spend our weekend as the music seems to have taken off. My younger deal was on Monday at 4:30 as they have worked out a schedule and will soon get back to all of you. That was on my younger deal at sportsradio.com. The new blog goes up there tomorrow, so get over there and check it with you behind. The link takes you to the Facebook page. Bring on down there and like that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Talk Radio. Of course, I am on Twitter at both times. TRKETONE if you want to look me up. You stop by my live thank you, but if you miss out, tune in on TV. Bring on by the way, you can listen anytime you want. All right, have a good weekend, everybody.